Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Thursday, November 5th, 2015. I'm Lee Brobardis. In the news tonight, Northwest weather this year is likely the new normal due to climate change. Seattle mayor declares homelessness emergency, youth homelessness up in Spokane, and more from Moscow School Superintendent Greg Bailey on legislative education funding. And in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis. At a meeting of climate experts in Coeur d'Alene, Oregon State University Climate Change Research Institute Director Philip Moat said, weather conditions which occurred this year in the Northwest will be normal by the year 2040. Moat also said we're likely entering a period where snow drought will become more common. He said, normally people think of drought as not enough moisture falling from the skies, but when winter precipitation that used to fall as snow is now falling as rain, snowpacks melt earlier, contributing to a lack of water in rivers and streams during the summer. Last winter, precipitation was near normal in the Northwest, but temperatures were about 4 degrees higher than normal. The snow drought, plus the hot, dry summer, led to the extreme wildfire situation this summer and the unhealthy air quality. The spokesman review quoted Washington State climatologist Nick Bond saying a high-pressure ridge off the coast kept storms from moving into Washington and Oregon this year. Bond also said warmer ocean temperatures caused the weather to be hotter on land. Bond also told the meeting about massive die-offs of ocean-dwelling animals. He said there are more crustaceans called copepods that thrive in warm waters off the northwest coast now, replacing the copepods that are adapted to cold weather. The fattier, cool-water copepods are a more nutritious diet for salmon. Salmon are also hurt by warmer-than-normal river water in the Columbia River system. Only 50 sockeye salmon returned to Redfish Lake in central Idaho this year. Wildlife officials captured 50 other sockeye and trucked them to a hatchery. Idaho Fish and Game Regional Manager Chip Corsi said a poor huckleberry crop caused by the drought has led to grizzly bears looking further for food, which has led to more human encounters with grizzlies. Seattle Mayor Ed Murray and King County Executive Dow Constantine declared a homelessness emergency in the county this week. Murray presented a $5.3 million plan to address homelessness in Seattle, while Constantine said the county would move forward with a $2 million plan. The money is in addition to the $40 million Seattle spends each year helping people who are homeless or at risk of homelessness. The county's $2 million will come on top of the $36 million it already spends each year. The annual one-night census count of homeless in January tallied 3,772 homeless people living on the streets in King County, which is 21% more than 2014's count. Murray said in a statement, "The city is prepared to do more as the number of people in crisis continues to rise, but our federal and state partners must also do more. Cities cannot do this alone. Addressing homelessness must be a national priority with a federal response." The new money in Seattle will be used flexibly to establish case management for homeless youth, more data collection on homelessness, and to improve health conditions at homeless encampments. Meanwhile, a study by two Eastern Washington University professors shows youth homelessness in Spokane is 33% higher than the statewide average. The nonprofit Priority Spokane funded the study by social work professor Tim Hilton and children's studies professor Deanna Trella. The study categorized youth as homeless if they lived with relatives, friends, or acquaintances rather than with their parents. The study found there's a service gap in Spokane. Hilton said while Spokane agencies focus on housing people who are already homeless, there is a lack of prevention-oriented services. He said there are 3,000 homeless children going to school in Spokane County, and 76% of them are doubled up, which means living with relatives or friends that don't really have room for them. The lead attorney representing a group of people who tried to keep Initiative 1366, sponsored by Initiative guru Tim Iman, off the ballot, said they are analyzing their options for a court challenge if the ballot measure holds on to its lead. Voters likely approved Initiative 1366, with current vote counts showing 53% voted yes statewide Tuesday. Washington votes completely by mail, and it could take several days until all the mail-in ballots are received. If the measure passes, the state sales tax will go down by 1 percentage point to 5.5% unless Washington lawmakers approve a constitutional amendment to reinstate a two-thirds legislative majority requirement for tax increases. The legislature would have the option of putting the two-thirds majority question before the voters next year. The sales tax reduction could cost the state over $8 billion in tax revenues over the next 5 years. No on 1366 lead attorney Paul Lawrence said the group is trying to determine if they can move forward with an existing lawsuit to the state Supreme Court or try at the state Superior Court level. Lawrence said, obviously, this is something that needs to be decided as quickly as possible, ideally before the legislative session starts. That's something that can be accomplished through either the Supreme Court deciding it or getting an injunction at the trial court level that would stop the enforcement of it. Republicans do not have the votes to pass the two-thirds majority requirement. Many Democrats oppose the requirement, and for that measure to pass, it would itself need a two-thirds vote of the legislature. Democratic Senator David Frakt of Seattle said, "If the courts don't throw it out, this is going to be a real dilemma for us politically. We either have a two-thirds requirement or you blow a huge hole in the budget. I don't know how the legislature is going to react to that." In an email yesterday, bill sponsor Tim Iman said the initiative is constitutional. Iman wrote, "We did exactly what the court told us to do, get the people to lobby the legislature for a constitutional amendment. The court knows the people have the power to lower the sales tax, and the court knows the legislature has the power to refer a constitutional amendment to the ballot." The Idaho Court of Appeals has upheld the sentence of 32-year-old Drifter Nibbler of Julietta. In February, Nibbler was convicted and sentenced for vehicular manslaughter for striking and killing 55-year-old Stanley Olai Solberg in May of 2014. Nibbler was given a 2-year fixed sentence with an additional 8 years indeterminate term. According to the Daily News, Nibbler and public defender Catherine Mabbott filed a motion questioning the sentence as unduly severe and raising the possibility the court had erred in its sentencing. At sentencing, prosecutor Michael Kavanaugh had recommended Second District Judge John Stegner retain jurisdiction, but Stegner declined. The sentencing decision did not consider a probation violation Nibbler received while he was awaiting sentencing. In upholding its decision, the Court of Appeals ruled it cannot say that the district court abused its discretion. School officials at Housel Middle School in Prosser, Washington, reported the school was locked down for about 90 minutes yesterday after a student reported a gun on campus. Police were called in and discovered a gun in a locker while the school remained in lockdown. From 1:30 to 3 p.m., police questioned a group of students thought to be involved. Voters in Tacoma have approved a measure which will raise the city's minimum wage to $12 an hour, promoted by the group 15 Now Tacoma. $12 for Tacoma minimum wage campaign co-founder Kevin Hayes said, "Congrats to 15 Now. They got this in front of voters, and they did a good job at least to raise the question about wages and fairness here in Tacoma." A representative for the 15 Now campaign said he was pleased the group had influenced the vote. The Tacoma News Tribune quoted 15 Now volunteer Vince Coiter saying, quote, We are proud of the work we did and happy about the partial victory. Everyone knows that there wouldn't be the raise that's coming if it wasn't for us. We made that happen. Voters had two options before them. The first was to decide if raising the minimum wage was necessary. The second option was a phased-in $12 an hour option incorporated over 2 years. With the measure's passage, Tacoma becomes the state's third city to move forward with a higher minimum wage. SeaTac has a $15 per hour floor for certain area workers. The city of Seattle has approved raising its minimum wage to $15 an hour by 2021. We now have an excerpt from Moscow School Superintendent Greg Bailey's presentation to the Moscow League of Women Voters yesterday. Bailey, along with Potlatch School Superintendent Jeff Serka and local teacher Ingrid Spence, spoke about how to get the legislature to better fund school districts. Here's a section of Bailey's presentation.
We're under the microscope a lot to make sure that we provide all the services that we can, both in the educational realm and in the social realm. Because we're trying to build well-roundedness in our students, and we need to be blunt about it. We need the resources, both financially and materially speaking, to make that happen. And so, Dr. Bailey has talked a little bit about facilities. Well, one of the ongoing issues that I have right now at the Potlatch School District is making some changes to our facilities. And how do you do that in a time when finances are so tight? I barely am able to pass a supplemental levy on a year-to-year basis, which is our override levy, which helps us go from year to year running our programs, turning the lights on, keeping the lights on, and things of that nature. And I know there's some representatives here from other communities, and I can hand it over to BJ if I needed to talk a little bit about what goes on at Troy. But I was in at Troy when as a special ed director, and they were struggling even then at that time. And even though we moved into a new building at that point, there were some other ties that were attached to that. And so it still doesn't come to play that you can pass supplemental levies all the time for whatever reasons that may be. And each community is unique in that respect. But 15 years ago, or I can look at the year 2000, I have documentation to show. In the year 2000, we were spending approximately 15%, 17% on our supplemental levy to cover our general fund, approximately. Now we're 16 years later, and we're looking at about 32% of our general fund is covered by our supplemental levy. So we've jumped up so far because we haven't found a funding source and the state hasn't supported our changes over the years to help with that growth. Greg mentioned to you about the year 2008. That was a tough time for everybody, all the way across the board. All businesses, school districts, everything in the state, everything nationally was went through that recession. And we're making our way and we're going forward, but it's been slow, and that process is slow. And so when I tried to push to get a new building, or if I need new facilities or retrofitting of facilities, if I need teachers to come on board, I have to be competitive. And it's hard to be competitive when you don't have the same pool of funds or pool of candidates for teaching positions as everybody else might have if they're in larger communities or next-door neighbors in other states. And we're not able to compete with them at that level either. So I'm struggling right now to try to pass a new bond or a plant facilities because we just have to maintain our schools the way they are just to go on a day-to-day basis, much less trying to change them to meet the needs of the future for our kids. And so when we talk about the financing in the state of Idaho, when we talk about where we're going, I think we're making great strides. Maybe great's not the word I should use. Slow and steady strides, okay? This was a good legislative year for education, much better than it has been in the past. There has been some positive change, which we'll go into a little bit further as we go along. But and we're hoping that it continues. But as mentioned, we have seen the writing on the wall, and the writing on the wall says, well, once we get back to where we were in 2008, we think we're going to cut down any of the financing that needs to go to the to school districts, because we've got you back to where you wanted to be, and and not taking into effect that
things not asking us.
Yeah, not taking into effect that things change.
Yeah,
and they do, yeah. But we'll talk more about that further. But it is a sticky wicket a little bit when we're talking about finances and where they're going. What the governor or the superintendent of instruction sees as maybe, or the overall budget and legislators see as a 3% increase, that doesn't necessarily mean 3% across the board. It doesn't mean total amounts of 3% going to it. It could be very minute as 0.08, comparatively speaking. So it sounds good, that number sounds good, but it doesn't necessarily tell you the whole picture of what that finance is.
That was Moscow School District Superintendent Greg Bailey speaking to the Moscow League of Women Voters yesterday. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Moscow Pullman weather, 60% chance of showers mainly before 7 p.m. tonight, patchy fog after 4 a.m., otherwise cloudy, low 31, patchy fog before 10 a.m. Friday, otherwise mostly cloudy, high 43, partly cloudy Friday night, low 35, and mostly sunny Saturday, high near 50. Currently at the Pullman Moscow Regional Airport, light rain and fog, 34 degrees. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. I'm Lee Robartis. Jim Roach assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a great evening.